champions. You will continually be on the move to greater heights, to open doors. In the name of Jesus, nothing will hinder your movement. In Jesus' name, celebrate Jesus in your life.
Let somebody shout hallelujah. Is there someone that is expectant this morning? Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Now, right away, without wasting further time, I'd like to bring to the podium the vessel that the Lord will be using this morning to bless our lives one more time. Please put your hands together to the Lord as I welcome Apostle Joshua Selma.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Good morning, everybody. I want to appreciate and salute everyone for the discipline to be here. It says, O Lord my God, early will I seek you. There is timing when it has to do with seeking the Lord. And so I appreciate everyone. I also truly want to honor Pastor Emmanuel and his lovely wife. You have an amazing pastor. God bless you. Bless you, ma. And the entire pastorate, the Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Father, send your word this morning and let it change my life. Lift your voice and pray. Let it be from the depth of your heart. Send your word this morning. Send your word. Let it change my life. Let it transform my destiny. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Please be seated for a few minutes. We'll have just a brief session this morning. It will largely be a prayer meeting. I'll just open our eyes to a few truths and then we will pray. Hallelujah. Are we blessed? Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. The Bible there declares in Proverbs chapter 4, when you read from verse 18, that according to God's intent for man, the path of the just, even as he advances in life and through life, should be as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. That means in God's economy, a man should not have a better yesterday. It should never be that your yesterday becomes better than your tomorrow. The path of the just is as a shining light that shines brighter and brighter even unto the perfect day. Hallelujah. What I want to teach you this morning very briefly is a key that can open closed doors. Amen. But let's discuss the concept of doors for a few minutes. A door is an authorized system of access. A door represents an authorized system of access. You may have heard me say it once and again that if a visitor enters through your window, he's inside your house, but he's not an authorized access. The authorized access, when a person is welcomed, when we came into this beautiful auditorium, we came in through the door. Imagine seeing me jump from the zinc. I'm in here, the roof now, but I'm not welcome. So a door represents an authorized system of access. Doors represent opportunities. Doors allow for movement. The presence of doors, listen carefully, doors allow for movement when opened. If a door is opened, it means you have access to advance. If a door is closed, it means you are restricted. Now listen carefully, when a door is open, you can move in and out freely. If this door is open, I can walk out at will and return back at will. But when a door is closed, it brings limitations, it brings delay, it brings frustrations. When a door is closed, even though it is there, let me tell you something else about doors. Doors midwife seasons, connecting a season and the next are doors. The same way this door is midwifing this auditorium and the passage outside. If I want to get to that passage, I will have to go through this door. So doors, spiritual doors, midwife seasons. When you are living a season into another season, you will encounter a door. And if you do not have the key that opens that door, you can remain in certain seasons almost forever. Is God speaking to us? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, please, and verse 18. This is a prayer meeting. Let your heart be fired up. Read with me, please. Paul is speaking now to the church in Thessalonica. Ready? One, two, read. Wherefore, we would have come to you, even I, Paul, I tried once and again, but your blessings wanted to come to you. It kept trying to reach you. Breakthroughs wanting to come to you. It tried once. Keep that scripture there, please. And again, it says, but Satan. So that Satan can be behind the closed door of a man and stop that door from opening. You keep having dreams that show advancement. You keep having prophecies that decree that you should move forward. But these doors remain closed. Why? Because Satan can become a resistance. I desire to have come to you. Your breakthrough is speaking. I desire to have come to you. Your next level is speaking. I desire to have come to you. The next level of oil on your life. The next level of influence. The next level of fire. The next level of increase. The job you are looking for. Once and again I tried. But Satan hindered us. Revelation chapter 3 from verse 7 and 8. Please pay attention this morning. Revelation chapter 3 from verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, this thing saith he that is holy and he that is true. Listen carefully. And he that had the key of David. What does that key do? He can open. And when he opens, no man can shut. And he can shut. And when he shuts, no man. There are doors when you open, someone else can shut it. But there is a key that when you hold, when you open that door, no power in existence will sustain the ability to shut it. 1 Corinthians 16 from verse 8 and 9. 1 Corinthians 16 from verse 8. Let's go to verse 9. But I will tarry at Ephesus. It says, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, but I'm still not able to pass through it. Why? There are many. I have seen in my visions that God is opening me to a greater level of ministry, a greater level of spiritual exploits, a greater level financially. But let me tell you something. One of the ways you confirm that you are on the right mountain is the presence of giants. If you go to a mountain that does not have anything there, run away. Because whatever attracts you also attracts the devil. Satan is interested in everything God is saying. When it comes to you, he wants to find out what has God said. I am lifting you. That becomes his next assignment, to stand and inhibit your rising. So there are doors that can limit men, but there is something that we can do to doors. Hallelujah. There is something we can do to doors, because I sense in my spirit that there are many people, you are ending seasons, spiritual seasons, financial seasons, like I began to teach yesterday. But you must be trained to know how to open closed doors so that you can step into a new level. Let me tell you, if you disregard what I'm telling you, you will spend your life recycling the same seasons. They did not take the nation of Israel 40 years over a journey that they would have covered in 40 days. The Bible says the labor of the fool wearieth every one of them. Why? Because they do not know the way to the city. Not because there is no city. They do not know the way to the city. So Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16 says, to stand in the way, he says, and to ask for that old path. Where is the good way? And when you have found it, walk in it. Make advancement in that direction, and you will enter your Sabbath. You will find rest for your souls. If we are together, say amen.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 7. I love Jesus. My goodness, my God. Matthew chapter 7, from verse 7. Jesus is teaching in what we call the Beatitudes. It was a mentorship session he was having, introducing the people of the day to the kingdom life. He was exposing them to the way that the kingdom operates. Please give it to us. Verse 7. Ask, he says, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. But when you come before closed doors, knock. Don't discuss, knock. And if you truly knock, it leaves you with a promise that door will be open. Are we Bible students? So Jesus is teaching us what to do with closed doors now. That every time you come before a closed door, you must know how to knock. There is a way and there is a skill that you use to knock closed doors. Even if that door did not open for your father, even if that door did not open for your mother, even if that door did not open for anyone in your lineage, you can come with an understanding. And there is a way you knock that door. And my Bible and your Bible says it shall be opened. Verse 8. For here is the law. Verse 8. Same Matthew. For everyone. How many people? Did he say men of God? Did he say people in worry alone? Everyone that asketh will receive. Everyone that seeketh will find. And everyone, my goodness, that means there is nobody here who should remain the same. Because this blessing is for everyone. There are things in the Bible that are for certain people, but there are things that are for everyone. When it has to do with opening closed doors, everyone can be a benefactor. It says, everyone that knocketh, it shall be opened. Hela sobranda katoski dabalata. I want to show you how to knock closed doors. This is my assignment this morning. Saying that if you must make advancement, midwifing between seasons in your life, you will meet closed doors. If you master what I teach you this morning, I would have completed my assignment successfully in this city. The Bible never said use your hand to knock. There is a skill by which we knock closed doors. I want to show you that skill, and then we pray. Pray in the spirit in 1 minute. Yes, a closed door is about to open. I assure you, age-long doors, doors that have refused to open, will answer now because it's time to advance. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Luke chapter 11. The mentor Jesus is about to teach us how to open closed doors. Luke chapter 11, please. We'll read the first 10 verses, but the verse of emphasis starts from 5. And it came to pass, please look up and pay attention, that as he was praying. So what is the subject matter here? Prayer. In a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. We notice that when John was mentoring his disciples, he taught them something about prayer. But you've not taught us anything about prayer. And Jesus said to them, when you pray, say. So prayer can be taught. A man can be taught to pray. When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. I've done a teaching on this. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. We're reading. Give us this day our daily bread. Next verse. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, the discourse starts. Pay attention. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. This is shame. This is embarrassment. I'm making progress, but now I've met with a situation. I need help. It says, and he from within, please go, okay? It says, and he from within shall answer. Now, watch what is happening. I am outside, but my help is inside. Midwifing my outside and inside is a door. And now I do not know how to pass that door. The bread I'm looking for is inside the house. The friend who is my destiny helper is inside the house. And I am here standing outside. Jesus is teaching us what to do. The friend said, trouble me not. The door is now. Read your Bible. Don't trouble me. The door that should be open for bread to come, the door that should be open for your helper to come, is now shut. And my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give you. Verse 8. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I say unto you, though he will not rise. Jesus is teaching us how to knock and open closed doors. He will not rise and give him because he is his friend. Yet, because of his importunity. The word importunity is the word persistence. The capacity to stay and remain and not bend. What will happen? He will rise and give him how many? How many? Therefore, this is the formula. I say unto you again, ask. Amplified says, ask and keep asking. Seek and keep seeking, and you shall find. It says, knock and keep knocking, and the door shall be opened unto you. Verse 10, the last verse. For everyone who asks and keeps on asking receives. Everyone who seeks and keeps on seeking finds. And everyone who knocks and keeps on knocking. Now listen carefully. So Jesus has given us a very classic narrative. I'm on my journey through destiny. And then I find out that in the other side is my lifting. In the other side is a new anointing. In the other side is a new dimension of grace. But midwifing my current realm and the realm I intend to access is a door. And yet to access that door, the door is shut. Colossians 4 verse 3. Who is like him? The lion and the lamb. Seated on the throne, mountains bow down, And every ocean roar to the Lord of Lords. I will praise Adonai from the rising of the sun till the end of every day. Praise Adonai. All the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing praise. Colossians 4 verse 3. Champions Cathedral. Read with me. 1, 2, read. Without praying for us also, that God... Stop. Don't rush. There are doors only God can open. The holder of the key to close doors. Please keep that scripture. We need to look at it. There's something we pick there. Who opens closed doors? God has a key that can open even ancient doors. Doors that refuse to open for those who went ahead of you. Your own assignment is that there is a way you can pray. This is how you knock on closed doors. You knock on closed doors by calling the attention of the one who has the key to that door. I may not have the key, but I know the one who has the key, and I can call upon him. And the Bible says, call upon me and I will answer. Closed doors. Pray for us that God would open unto us a door. In this case, a door of utterance, but it can be a door of favor. It can be a door of lifting. Is someone learning this morning? Last scripture and we begin to pray. James chapter 5. Apostle James began to teach us, again speaking on how to close and to open. Verse 5. James 5 verse 13. It says, is any among you afflicted? He says, let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. The Bible says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now pay attention. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Then he tells us the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Next verse. He now uses an individual to personify the power of prayer and its ability to control the opening and the closing of doors. Follow carefully. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. The Bible says he prayed. Talk to me. He prayed. Knock and keep knocking. Knock and keep knocking. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. I hope you know that between the earth and the atmosphere there is a door. That is the door that shuts rains, and it is the opening of it that brings rain. The Bible says he prayed that it would not rain, and that door became closed for 3 years and 6 months. And when it was time for him to open the door, what key did he use? He prayed again. So if you prayed for yesterday's victory to come, what do you do for tomorrow's door to open again? You pray again. He prayed again that the door be opened, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. The ministry of prayer with understanding is one of the master keys that opens closed doors, especially doors that Satan is directly behind it, causing a resistance. I have learned this in my life, I have learned this in ministry. The challenge is that many believers are not given to strategic, intentional, continual prayer. It's the reason why we stand before closed doors for so long, for many years, and it seems as though God is powerless concerning such situations. When you truly know how to hold on to the four horns of the altar and to pray, the Bible leaves us with an assurance that even ancient doors can be lifted. Do you know something? There are times that your prayer becomes so powerful, the door is not open, it is broken. Why is it broken? So your children will not have to pay that price again. If I only open the door, sometimes I may pass, but what happens to my child? Psalm 24, verse 7. If you're a Christian, I'd like you to shout this scripture. One, two, read. Lift up your heads. Hold on. The King of Glory wants to pass, but he does not want to pass alone. So he didn't say doors open, he says doors be lifted. Get out of the way, so that as I come out, I now become the first begotten. Let many be able to come. Doors can be opened, but doors can be broken. He has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Hear me. Look up, please. You only need a key to a door that has a padlock and has a space for key. But there are certain doors that do not have a space for keys. At that point, you don't need a key. You need the force to break it. Have you seen them seal an entrance? When the doors require keys, you can pray, and God can give you the wisdom, the keys, the principles to engage, and the doors open. But there are times you stand before doors and there is no provision to slot a key. There is no padlock. There is just a mast of resistance. At that point, you do not need keys. You need to pray this prayer. Lift up your heads. When they got to Jericho, the Bible says the fence of Jericho was so fortified. They didn't need Jericho to open. They needed to shut it down and flatten it. And with one loud blast, I understand you have prayer sessions. You have prophetic sessions by this night and your praise night. Maximize those moments. Because as you lift up your voice in praise and in worship, I tell you, there are doors that will crumble before you. Jericho was an altar. What sort of a place is that, that nothing goes in and nothing comes out? There is nobody who builds a house without a place for passage. But Jericho was shut. Nothing goes in, nothing goes out. This morning we have come here. As I wrap up my session with you, there are doors that need to open. There are doors that need to be broken. In any case, all doors must open. Are we together? How many doors? How many doors? I hope you know, when it was time for the nation of Israel to leave Egypt, when the heat was getting hot, Pharaoh started negotiating. He said, okay, this is what will happen. Who allowed the men to go, but the children stay behind. And Moses said, no way. If I am leaving, my children will also follow. He says, as for me and my house. So your prayer this morning is not just for you alone. While we are praying, let your children be there. Let your family be there. Some of you are the first genuine Christian in your family. At that point, you don't just need an open door. There are doors you are going to smash to pieces this morning. And
make up your mind. Hear me. There are families where you never eat until you become a slave. You can travel abroad for decades, you return back, and your future looks like yesterday. He makes his ministers, his angels, spirits, and his ministers flames. It was a great man of God who said, no matter how mad a man is, he does not enter fire by mistake. No. He's not that mad. So three things will happen this morning as we pray. Number one, we are going to take our time to engage in serious prophetic prayers. Prayers over doors. Some of you, doors of admission have refused to open. Are we together? Some of you, doors of children. Doors of breakthrough. All kinds of doors. Doors of finances. Doors of spiritual advancement. Up today, down tomorrow. No passion, no fire. I desire to come to you once and again. Some of you have businesses. The door is open physically, but spiritually the door is closed. Can I tell you this? You can be in a city, but in the realm of the spirit, you are outside that city. Because the riches and the blessings of that city. Is it not in your Bible? It says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. A city can reject a man. You are there, but nothing is answering to you. You buy a land, it becomes a source of trouble. You send your child to school, every trouble is there. Just when you want to drive out in the morning, you get into a trouble. All kinds of things. There are doors that can open. Is someone tired of his current level? Listen. If you are not tired of where you are, this meeting is not for you. But there are people here, even spiritually, you are saying, Lord, I'm tired. I know you have called me. There is an unction upon my life. There is a grace you have sent me. And you gave me a commission over this city. I'm tired of this level of anointing. You have called me to walk in the healing anointing. And yet nobody is getting healed through my life. You have called me to be a prophet, and every prophetic word I give looks like a lie. You have called me to be a kingdom financier, and yet no door is opening. You have called me to be a mother that births generals, and yet barrenness is eating me up. Can you open your mouth and begin to pray in the spirit in 1 minute? Are you praying? Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus Christ. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 6. We are praying. My spirit is fired up. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 6. And Samuel said unto the people, it is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron. Men don't just move forward. There is a force that comes from the Lord. Are you ready to pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare that in this season, every mountain, every closed door standing my way, scatter in the name of Jesus. Lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray. Every mountain. Every mountain, every mountain, every door, in the name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God, be open. Ephata, be open. Every mountain, be scattered now, and every closed door, be open. Be lifted, be open, be lifted. Pray, pray, pray. Doors, midwifing my new season. Doors, midwifing new realms, new dimensions of power, new dimensions of grace, new opportunities. Be open.
Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Please don't be distracted. Don't be distracted. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That means, listen, the physical things that are happening are not where the problem is. The man annoying you in the office is not really the problem. Behind the scene, there are spirits controlling men. The one refusing for you to move forward, just sign a document and let me go. There are spirits, keep that scripture there. Fighting things physically is a waste of time. We wrestle not against flesh. This battle is not in the realm of flesh and blood. All of a sudden, the helpers of your destiny seem to be forgetting you. Someone is making them forget you. The Bible says, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Say in the name of Jesus, I decree, I declare, by the blood of the Lamb, every power standing the way to my advancement, caused by ancestry, bloodline, foundations, I come against you in the name of Jesus. Lift your voice and pray. I come against you. I come against you. Every resistance, every power in partnership with humans, in partnership with systems and structures to frustrate the purposes of God over my life, over my advancement, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. barakatos ketebrende 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 ketebrende. Jesus, in the name of Jesus. First Kings chapter 18, we'll begin our reading from verse 45. Something is about to happen. Listen, this was when the heavens refused to produce rain. The Bible says it came to pass in the meanwhile that on prayer Elijah had invested in prayer, the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was great rain. And Ahab rode. Ahab seemed to have gone ahead of Elijah. It seemed like Elijah was experiencing delay, but something happened in verse 46. Oh, may that be your miracle. Help those under the anointing. The Bible says, and the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. Everybody shout speed. Shout it again. Say speed. There are times that life has gone ahead of you. There must be grace not just to advance, but to advance on time and catch up. The Bible says, and he gathered his loins and he ran before Ahab, even to the entrance of Jezreel. Father, in the name of Jesus, every delay that I have suffered in time past, I receive a grace from heaven to run, to pursue, to overtake, to take over. Lift your voice and pray. Grace for speed. Grace for speed. Speed of accomplishment. Spiritual speed. Speed in your career. The hand of the Lord. Pares kete lekete brandos kotopraske. Ekata kete pronto kotopra kete kata. Skadabara kete brandas kete pakatos. Oh yes. Oh yes. The hand of the Lord upon my life, bringing speed, advancement, speed. 10 years in 1 year. 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 In the name of Jesus. Are we still together? Listen. Listen. Praise the Lord. Now listen to me. One of the forces that controls advancement and even speed is the force of favor. Now listen please. Favor is when someone is willing to invest his time, his credibility, his resources to see that you rise on time. It's a system of acceleration. You may have heard me say, who hates you in this life does not matter, but who likes you matters. Who hates you does not matter, but I can tell you who likes you matters. You know why? Because all blessings come from God through men to men. It does not just come from God to men. It comes from God through men. Men can be doors themselves. Doors are not just blocks. Human agents can be doors. Gatekeepers are doors. They can choose to frustrate you, or they can choose to cooperate with you. Esther chapter 2. Someone is about to receive a grace for favor. Please listen. Hear me. Listen to me. The number one reason why people prosper and advance in this kingdom, behind every tearsome testimony, behind every strange advancement of men, I can tell you this, is the favor of God. It's true. If you have been sleeping, wake up now. Because what you are about to receive can define the next decade of your life. I have seen people, listen, the Bible says it is vain to wake up in the morning and to sleep late at night. I have seen business people, CEOs, productive, sincere people, very gifted, but there is no favor on them. I have seen music artists, anointed people, when I heard their songs, I said, why is the world not hearing you? No favor. There are skilled people. There are artists. There are people who have drawn me portraits of me. And when I saw what they did, I said, you shouldn't be at this level. It takes more than skill to excel in this kingdom. I want to show you a secret now that will give you advancement. Esther chapter 2. When the king banished Vashti, please pay attention, and there was need for a woman who would occupy that position, they gathered all the women across the 127 provinces, and there was a little villager called Hadassah from Shushan, and her uncle Mordecai said, why don't you go to paradventure? The king may like you. Esther 2:15. That young girl was there among the many people. I show you what distinguishes you among the crowd. Because what you are looking for, others are looking for it too. There must be a grace on your life that distinguishes you. Especially in a continent like ours. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihai, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go unto the king. Listen carefully. She required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. What happened? Esther obtained favor in the sight of how many?
All.
Listen, if it is favor, the only person who cannot respond to you is a blind man. Favor works with the power of sight. Provided men see you, there is a compelling anointing. Now watch this. When you read the preceding verses, let's go to 16, we'll end at 17. So Esther was taken, listen carefully, to King Ahasuerus into his house, royal, in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. There was an oil that Haggai gave her. Keep rubbing this ointment on your body. Other women were learning how to attract the king, but Haggai said, I have worked with the king. I am the one who keeps his women. I know what the king wants. Let me give you a kind of oil. Forget about what these women are doing. Keep rubbing that oil on your body. After 1 year, go before the king. And she heeded to his advice. The Bible says, verse 17, and the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Listen, there is an oil, there is a grace, I call it the Esther anointing. It can come upon an individual and you go where they drove you yesterday, and then you are back to that same place, and there is this charm-like aura that you carry. Are you ready to pray? Father, the grace for favor, let it come upon me. Lift your voice and pray. The grace for favor. The grace for favor. The grace for favor. Sala prata gata brenda gata balakatu. The grace for favor. Don't be tired of praying. Your life is changing. The grace for favor. In the name of Jesus, the grace for favor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Listen, we have three more prayer points and we're done. I'm still speaking on favor. Exodus chapter 3, verse 21. This is how you know the favor of God is upon you. Are you ready? One, two, let's read together. In the sight of the Egyptians, what is the proof? It shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. Emptiness has an explanation. It is proof that the favor of God is not upon your hand. Emptiness. Emptiness. Have you heard people say, I know this one. I know the chief judge of this place. I know this one. We even ate together with the governor. There are people who know everybody, but nothing comes from there to lift you. I know the manager of this place. I know this great man of God. We used to be together. We were neighbors. No. Don't be like Jacob. There were angels ascending and descending near him, but none of them was talking to him. Just because you are close to a door does not mean the door has opened. Are you ready to pray? You are going to curse the spirit of emptiness. Listen, 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 listen. We are Christians. When we make these demands, it's because we love the Lord, and what comes from us will serve His purposes. So we are not afraid to make these petitions. We are not some carnal people just wanting to glorify the flesh. Say in the name of Jesus, the spirit responsible for hardship and emptiness in my life, I challenge you by the power of the Holy Ghost. Be gone now in the name of Jesus. Lift your voice and pray. Emptiness. Emptiness. Parose que te prende que te peleca. Shake te peca te paraca to produce que te. Scate prende que te brosca te lecata. Ebre que te paruso soco to prende que te catelema. I challenge emptiness from my life. I challenge emptiness from my business. I challenge emptiness from my family in the name of Jesus. Are you praying? Hallelujah. 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 One last prayer over the issue of favor, a scripture God is just putting in my spirit now. Psalms, I think that's Psalms 44, verse 3. Psalms 44. Let me show you, there is a grace that establishes men in a territory. They got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them. There are many people who want to make advancement and be established. Thank God for the grace to pay rent. But Lord, I'm trusting now that you will establish me. It will not just happen just by savings alone. Father, I have 5 children. 6 children. 3 children. And now it's time to send them to school. But I need the wherewithal. Let me show you the key. Please keep that scripture. They got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but your right hand, thy arm and the light of your countenance. How did you do it? Because thou hast a favor. Hear me. You will never... I'm saying this to everybody, but particularly the men in this church. The real secret to establishment is the favor of God. Can I tell you this? The proof of favor is not money. The proof of favor is loyalty to the hearts of men. When men love you and are willing to invest their time, their credibility, you can have money and not be favored. The proof of favor is when men can appear and come and say, we will help you. David was in the cave of Adullam, and there were certain men who came and said, Oga, our assignment here is to stand by you till you become a king. That leads me to the next prayer point. Are you ready to call the helpers of your destiny? Hear me. Men can be doors. You can pass through men to new levels in your life. My life today is a product of the ministry of destiny helpers. There has to be someone anointed, commissioned, authorized to hold your hand. Watch this. Let me use this gentleman. You see where he is? He desires to move forward to come to this realm, but it takes someone already here to say, give me your hand, and he will help you. There is no destiny helper who comes on their own. They are called. Hear me. Some of you, this is why you have been fasting and praying and say, Lord, it's not difficult for you to lift me. The person who is there is not seeing you. There has to be a grace that connects you to your helper. Please hear me. Don't just be excited for nothing. These things, these prayers are destiny altering prayers. There are 4 levels of destiny helpers that if they do not show up in your life, you can never rise. I've done a teaching on them, but let me just give you in 1 minute. Our time is up. Number one, the first category of destiny helpers you need, they are called divine connectors. They don't have the solution you are looking for, but they know who can help you. Hear what I'm telling you. The slave girl did not have the power to heal Naaman, but she knew how to recommend him to the prophet. The key to receiving from those kind of destiny helpers is discernment, because they will come in forms that you may not appreciate them. It may be a bike man who gives you a handbill of a crusade, a handbill of a conference. And that handbill, you come for that conference and you encounter grace that changes you. The key to receiving from divine connectors is discernment. That's why it's good to honor all men. Don't honor only blessed people. Don't honor only great people. God will use the least likely people. God can use your security man to be the one to connect you. Somebody knows somebody who knows somebody who has what you are praying for. Are you learning this morning? The second category of destiny helpers that you need in your life, they are called men of influence. There are times you need the gatekeepers, the captains of industry. Whether they are born again or not, let me tell you something. There are people that are not castable. They are gatekeepers. You can't cast them. If God wants you to pass through that door, He will make them like you. When a man's ways pleases the Lord, He makes even his enemies to be at peace. Because there is an office they occupy. If they refuse to let you pass, you can pray all you can, yet you will not pass. How will Joseph rise if Pharaoh did not love him? Hear me, please. It's not enough to know big men. You must pray that they know you. Men of influence are men who, by reason of their sacrifices, by reason of their credibility, their skill, and their service, they have earned the loyalty of a territory. Men believe in them. One signature from them, help this person, can end 10 years. Don't downplay men. This is a world of men. The heaven of heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth has He given to the sons of men. Believe me when I tell you, if men decide to fight you, only God can help you. Don't ignore men. Believers have done this. If you praise God and say, I don't need any man, just because you are showing His sovereignty, you are right. But if you say, I don't need any man, just because you think you can do it without men, you are joking. Even God needed men. Are we together? It is in the multitude of men, not treasures, that the king's honor lies. Hear me. You need men of influence. There has to be someone who can endorse you. There has to be someone who can carry his credibility of 20 years and leverage it on you. Whether you are in ministry, whether you are in music ministry, you are in whatever sector, struggling on your own and trying to rise per step, you will spend your whole lifetime trying to rise. You need someone. There are times you have the gift, O Joseph, but you are in the prison. You need somebody already in the palace to speak for you. And if you do not have a Pharaoh to send for you, you may remain in your dungeon. The Bible says, and the king sent for Joseph. Not God. The king sent for Joseph, and they brought him out of his dungeon. There is one person who can decide to invest his credibility on your life, and in a matter of months, your life can change. Am I wasting your time? The third category of destiny helpers, because I want us to pray, and I don't just want you to pray blindly, I want you to pray with intelligence. The first category of destiny helpers, don't forget, divine connectors. Second, men of influence. Third, gifted men. You need to bring gifted men to your life. Gifted men conserve your resources. They conserve your energy. There are many companies that have so many staff, 100 people, and yet there are 10 people who can deliver the same results. Gifted men, the largest corporations in the world, are people who have mastered the art of putting together a team of absolutely brilliant and phenomenal people. You need gifted men. The Bible says if the axe head is blunt, there will be much energy, there will be much labor. You need people who are cunning, who are skilled. That's why when Saul discovered David, he said, you play skillfully, come. The palace is where you should be. You need gifted people. The last set of destiny helpers that you need, if you must advance and make progress in this life, they are called burden bearers. Woe betides any man who does not have burden bearers. These people don't like you because of your fame. They are not looking for your result. Their assignment is not to move you forward. Their assignment is to keep you from going backward. Burden bearers. There are the ones who cry with you when things go bad. few of them among the maze of sycophants who loiter around you because of money and fame, there are a few people who sincerely love you. They will pray for you. They don't just stand with you, they die with you. That's what Ruth told Naomi. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Can I tell you this? I presume that there are many people who God has helped and blessed and established in this church. Let me give you a powerful secret. You're a businessman here. You're a captain of industry. You're a senior executive. Let me give you an advice. I want you to take a very careful inventory of the people who are really burden bearers in your life. Do you know why many great men plunge to depression and even death? Because when things go wrong in their life, suddenly they find out that everyone who has loitered around them was there just for what they will get. Our world is largely driven by interest and selfishness. But there are a few people who are there not for what they can get. There are people who will cry with you. They will die with you. They will receive the blows for you. Don't ignore those people. They may not be educated. They may not be smart. But they are gifts from God. So when you are now praying for destiny helpers, you know what you are praying for. That number one, Lord, send divine connectors. Number two, send men of influence. Number three, send gifted men. But in all your sending, oh God, also send burden bearers. Lift your voice and begin to pray. Pray and receive the ministry of destiny helpers. Pray and receive the ministry of destiny helpers. The Lord to send you divine connectors. Ask the Lord to send you men of influence. Ask the Lord to send you gifted men. Ask the Lord to send you burden bearers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Now I want to pray for you. I want to speak over your life. I truly believe in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I know there is power from heaven, listen, that can come upon a man. My life today is a testimony of what happens when the anointing of the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Just help those under the anointing. I want to pray for you. Whether you are outside, whether you are inside, the Lord sent me here through the ministry of your treasured pastor, the angel over this house. Hear me. There must come a time in your life when you encounter genuine grace. Grace is not just for men of God. It's not for those in ministry. It is the force that causes men to excel and to make progress. Are we together now? Yes. I wish we had the time. So I tell you stories. Stories. I am a product of many anointings myself. We have taken by the grace of God from the wells of they that have gone ahead of us. It's a relay. No man invents this anointing. There are all kinds of graces that are responsible for feats of advancement. Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. That anointing made him to go forward. He went about doing good, healing all they that were oppressed of the devil. Hear me. I know you have a great business, but until that business is anointed, it cannot excel. You have a great family. I know you are gifted, but even your gift has to be anointed for it to serve the purposes of the kingdom. I'm trusting that within the next 1 or 2 minutes, that something from heaven will come upon your destiny and will alter the course of your life, that you will go and write it that here at this conference, 7 days of glory, something happened and it changed my life. Are you ready to receive? Father, I pray, standing in faith, you don't have to kneel, just stand. I stand in faith with Pastor Emmanuel and his wonderful wife, the leadership of the Champions Cathedral. And in the name of Jesus, there are people here who desire to make very strategic advancement. I speak to you, the oil. My God, I'm just seeing like a river flowing. This is what I'm seeing. A river flowing. Help them. A river. In the name of Jesus, the anointing for the next level of your life. Take that grace. Take that grace. Take that grace. In the name of Jesus, the grace for signs and wonders. You are in ministry here. I release that grace upon you. Take that grace. Prayer fire. May that grace rest upon you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hear me. There are women here that God is empowering with unusual grace. I stretch my hands. May that grace locate you right now. May that grace locate you right now. Help them, please. Let me pray for those in business. It takes more than buying and selling to excel. There is an unction that can come upon your enterprise. You don't have to come out. I stretch my hands. Everyone in this church, following online, you are in business. I declare the power that excels. May that grace rest upon you now. May that grace land upon you now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, please hear me. Hear me. There's an impartation going on. There is a grace for visibility. There is a grace for influence and visibility. Just because you have what to offer does not mean the city will receive of your grace. There is a grace that gives men visibility. Hallelujah. Now, listen very carefully. Acts chapter 12. We are wrapping up. I have to pray that grace upon you before I leave. The grace for visibility. Acts chapter 12. Let's start from verse 5. The Bible says that Peter was kept in prison. Is it not doors that are used to close prisons and gates? The Bible says Peter, an apostle who had potentials to do so much in a city, he was locked up in prison, closed with doors. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. When Herod would have brought him forth that same night, listen carefully, while Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door. There were doors to that prison. Next verse. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter by his side, raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Verse 8. And the angel, watch this now. He said, gird up thyself, bind thy sandals. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. In other words, you will not remain in this position again. Follow me. Let's begin to advance. Verse 9. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel. He thought he saw a vision. Verse 10. Hallelujah. The Bible says, and when he was past the first and the second door. Word there means doors. Watch this. There were three doors. I want to give you a mystery God taught me about influence and visibility. There was the door that brought him out of the prison, but he was not yet out from that environment. Then he came to the second door, and then he came to a mysterious gate called the Iron Gate that opens to where? There is a gate that opens to the city. The moment that gate is open, all you see before you is the city. There is a gate that controls visibility and influence. When that gate is opened, then the city can see you. There are many great men and women of God here. God has walked upon you, and he's sending you to the city, but the city is yet to receive of the investment of the Spirit. There are CEOs, uncommon entrepreneurs, politicians. Help her, please. Help that woman, because that's what is happening to her. You will marvel at the testimonies you will come and share on this exalted altar. Can I pray for you? Father, the door and the gates that opens up to the city, the anointing that controls influence and visibility upon everyone under the sound of my voice, may that grace rest upon you now. May that grace rest upon you now. Whatever business you are involved with, we give it a voice, and we command the city to hear your voice. Everything that has relegated you to the background, gifted but limited, we open that door and we push you forward. In the name of Jesus, we push you forward. We push you forward. We push you forward. We push you forward. In the name of Jesus. Finally, let me pray for your spiritual advancement. If all you have is money, if all you have is a flourishing business, flourishing career, wonderful family, and your relationship, I'm not just talking of new birth, your passion and fire, the highest thing that you must prize in life is your relationship with the Lord. He says that you prosper even as your soul. The kind of prosperity that takes away your passion, that the higher you rise in other areas, the more you go down spiritually, is not recommended for believers. No. That after 30 years, you are still standing serving this Lord Jesus. That in the end of your life, you will be like Abraham. He says, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed him in all things. I declare, whatever has killed your zeal for God, your passion for prayer, fasting, your word life, your passion for the house of God, character, in the name of Jesus, like the hair of Samson grew back, let there be a miracle of restoration for you. Every wrong association in your life that continues to make you abort destiny, I break you away from those associations. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare, like never before, a fresh hunger for God. Help that man. A fresh passion for prayer. A fresh love for the house of God. And any spirit sitting on your spiritual advancement, I clear them out of the way. Now, let me prophesy over this cathedral and over the workforce. I spoke with your pastor a bit, and he told me the marvelous work. Amazing what the Lord is doing in and through this cathedral. and you are here, you are not part of this cathedral, or you have your own church, you can receive by faith. Everything that is alive grows. There is nothing that remains at the same position. Therefore, Champions Cathedral, hear the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, I prophesy from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. From glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. From glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. From glory to glory to glory to glory. In the name of Jesus. May this church raise mighty men of influence in this city. May this church raise captains of industry in this city. May this church raise the next set of prophetic and apostolic giants in this city. May this church raise financial apostles for the kingdom. I pray for the entire workforce. Every faithful worker, committing, every partner, every financier, I stand in faith with your pastor and I call upon the God of my covenant. May he bless you. May shame and reproach be far from your life. I came here yesterday and you honored me together with your pastor, his lovely wife. In the name of Jesus Christ, the grace that you have honored, may it speak for you. And we pray and agree for the remaining sessions we have up until the Thanksgiving on Sunday. Let it be greater levels of grace. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ. The Lord bless you. The Lord honor you. The Lord keep you. It will only be for you from glory to glory. Therefore, in closing, I speak to you that in this season and by the power of prophecy, advance in Jesus' name. Move forward in Jesus' name. Surpass ordinary standards in Jesus' name. Thank you very much. The Lord bless you. The Lord increase you.